Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense, intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper, Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though if you jizzed in a cup and made me keep it for several days till it got hard and you wanted me to sprinkle it on all my food like nutritional yeast, I would do it. How gross. You don't know me. This is such a strange introduction, but I always try to say something nasty up top. During the episode, at the end, I'm just a little nasty bitch. Okay, I'm just explaining myself to my guest. His name is John Kim. He's known as the Angry Therapist. He's got a book called I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck. And he's got a company called Journey, which helps you on your journey. It's John Kim! Hello, John. How are you?
Is that a true story with the cum in a jar? Or are you making
it
up?
No. I kind of just say it's... I say I'm single even though I would do this awful thing if you asked me to do
and then
it.
You rotate the awful thing.
Yes, yeah. But in real life, I don't think I could do that. That's disgusting.
Sprinkle it like pepper.
Yeah, I don't think I could really do it because jizz doesn't really have a flavor.
No, but it's got protein.
Does it?
Yes.
Like real protein like or real is that like
Yeah, and I think people, no joke, I think they put it on their faces.
Oh,
because it's good for your skin, I heard, because of the protein in it.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, I think I've heard about semen facials.
Yeah, like legit facials, yes. not what we see in porn. But
like, where are they getting it from? Is there a donation center?
I don't know.
Who's doing that?
If I wanted that on my face, I would know where it's, I'd want to know where it came from. And
yes. Yeah, I would like to know if it was ethically sourced.
Right. Grass-fed. Organic.
You know, were they stressed as they came?
Exactly. I want to see the DNA. I want to see where it came from, what that person's skin's like.
Okay, John, may I ask, why did you coin yourself the angry therapist? Or did you have clients who were like, my boy, he angry?
Yeah, I used to be angry in my 20s. I was angry because I was unhappy. So 10 years ago, I went through a divorce.
Okay.
And then I kind of just had to start my life all over. And at the time, Tumblr was popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to do with my time. And I didn't have any friends. My mom bought me this little MacBook because Korean parents buy you things when you're hurting.
Oh.
They wanted to give me their Forerunner. I was like, I don't need that. I need a hug. But she bought me this little computer. And I was like, you know what? What if I started a blog for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I called it The Angry Therapist. And I didn't think anyone would read it. And my very first post was called My Fucking Feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started talking about how heartbroken I was.
Aww.
And then I think people thought it was interesting that a therapist was talking about his love journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know that at the time, but I pulled the curtain back. And they're like, oh, here's a therapist talking about his feelings. That's weird. Interesting.
I think it's so funny that people think it's interesting because I think people put therapists on a pedestal where they're like, they're helping me. So obviously their life is better than mine. They have it more together than mine. And that's not true. The case.
No.
They just went to school to be able to learn to give you tools to help you. Sometimes it's hard to apply it for yourself.
Yeah. You know, like Phil Jackson can take the Lakers to the world championships, but he can't necessarily throw free throws like.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
So you're a coach, you're a catalyst, you're a guide. What I don't like about the socialization of the therapist is that we're supposed to be very private.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you ask me a personal question in our therapy room, if you're my client, I would flip it on you and say, you know, I wonder where that's coming from or whatever. Mm-hmm. By doing so, I'm not humanizing myself. And so I think that's why people think therapists are, you know, this shining, like perfect relationships and they don't have feelings and, you know, they have all these tools. It's not true. We're human. We go through our own shit. We're not supposed to show it. I decided to show it.
I like that. My therapist also humanizes herself.
Mm.
Not that she tells me a ton about her life.
Right.
I don't know very much about her life.
Right.
But if I have a problem that we're trying to work through, she'll tell me a story that applies to me from her life.
Yeah.
But then it does flip back to me.
To you, right.
But not in a sneaky way. I don't want to say she's like tricking me into being like, oh, I thought about it. We arrived at this answer. But it's helpful for me to have somebody who has a conversation with me.
Yeah.
Because I've had therapists who just go, yes, okay.
Sure.
And that made you feel. And
why are you
asking me that? I'm like, because I'm curious.
Yeah.
That's why I asked. And then they
just kind of become a cardboard cutout.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like my therapist because she's not a cardboard cutout. Yeah. She has feelings and I tell her things and sometimes she'll just go, that fucking sucks until she figures out a way to help me through it.
And sometimes
it happens in that session, but sometimes she like sleeps on it. And then the next session has a really beautiful thing to say to me that helps me and makes sense.
I've been listening to your episodes and you seem very pro therapy.
Oh,
you love it.
I think everybody should be in therapy. I think the government should give you some sort of stipend to have a couple sessions a year. I don't think it's healthy for you to only tell your friends your problems.
Right.
Or if you're in public, a stranger. I've had so many people just lay their shit on me and I'm like, oh, I don't. We're on an airplane. I've never wanted to know anything about you. So, yeah, I'm a huge, huge supporter of therapy.
Why do you think people don't see therapists that much? Do you think it's a stigma?
I think, well, in the Black community specifically, it is a stigma.
Well, Asian too, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, Koreans. They don't.
So maybe, it's a stigma of people of color because I think we're told to be strong, to persevere, pull yourself up.
And there's something wrong
with
you.
Deal with your own shit.
Yeah.
It's like, there's something wrong with you. Why are you on medication? It's like, oh, well, it truly has helped my life. That's why I'm on it.
Right.
I've done different cocktails with my psychiatrist and truly I'm on Vyvanse, which is for my ADD.
Right.
And then she just prescribed me vitamin D pills because I think I have a little seasonal depression.
Yeah.
So when it's not sunny out, I go, why are we all alive? But when it's sunny, I'm like, I love living. So she was like, let's get some vitamin D in you. Let's see how that works.
Oh,
as opposed to like Wellbutrin or whatever.
Yeah. I like that.
I like that too. I like that she mixes natural stuff with medication.
Yeah.
So it truly is just like you got to find the person who fits you and that might take a while.
Sure.
I just got a DM from a nice friend. I don't know him, but he said he's been on a journey trying to find a therapist for like 10 years.
Wow.
And that is a long time.
10 years is a long time.
Very long time. And I was trying to think of advice to give this person. And I think my advice is like, you got to look at the people around you. If no one is like you, it might be hard to find somebody that's easy to talk to. Like if you live in a very tiny town and maybe you're queer and there's no queer people there,
that
might be hard. So you have a text service with Journey? Is that what you were saying?
No, I text people myself under the Angry Therapist.
Oh, okay.
And then Journey is a coaching company that I have that's a startup and that's its own thing. It's bigger than me.
Ah, okay.
So that it's a separate, but it's the same in that we are all trying to help people, help people, and change the temperature of wellness. And, mm-hmm. and even like, you know, therapy, with my story, showing myself as a therapist has been kind of like taboo. You're not mm-hmm. supposed to. And I think with the explosion of wellness and now coaching, you should show yourself. And it's okay that that people care more about who you are than the letters after your name. Mm-hmm. So I champion all that. I think it's all about humanizing yourself now.
So when people, is it just your clients you can text, or any person can text
Oh,
you?
I just text. It's through my website. It's a service. I just text everyone.
What's your website?
Yeah, TheAngryTherapist.com.
So there you go. If you want to text them, you can text them. So you said you were married and got divorced 10 years ago.
Yeah.
How long had you been with that person?
For about 5 years.
And how long were you married?
I was married for 5, and then we were dating for another 4 to 5. So like a total of 9, almost a decade.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That's a long time. It was my first biggest imprint when it came to love.
And divorce is hard.
Yeah.
Was it? Do you mind me asking, was it a mutual thing or?
No, I don't mind at all. She divorced me. It started as a separation,
mm-hmm.
but I think she knew. And so the soft blow was the, you know, let's separate. And then it was a divorce. But there was no pushback from me. I just feel like it, we got married young, we were kids, mm-hmm. man. It's that sticky, crazy, unhealthy, selfish love that mm-hmm. where you lose yourself in someone else. Looking back, it was the best thing that happened to me because I went from kind of like child to adult or mm-hmm. boy to man because of my divorce. You just have to sit with yourself, mm-hmm. look at your own shit. And when you're in a relationship, it's hard to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So breakups or divorces or expired relationships right after, I think it's the I think the soil is the richest for growth,
mm-hmm.
if you decide to look inward. Now, if you decide to do other shit, like if you're now going and just, you know, whatever it is, debauchery or drugs or whatever, mm-hmm. then of course there isn't growth there. But if you really review the plane crash and look at the black box and why it happened and what you're taking it, not in blaming the other person, then there's an opportunity to actually like grow from it, you know?
How long do you think it takes someone to get over a breakup?
Oh, man. So I think it's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a set time. I think it depends on how crazy or intense that relationship was that you're mm-hmm. coming out of. Because the other thing is I think a lot of people mistake intensity for love.
Mm.
So just because something was intense doesn't mean that it was healthy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So some of my most intense relationships were in my earlier days, you know, 20s. But those were also probably the most unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start trying to trace that blueprint because the feeling of it we remember. But that doesn't mean that that has legs for a relationship that's sustainable.
Mm.
You know? And so we end up chasing this like feeling, mm-hmm. this dopamine. And we end up going, the only thing that changes is our faces. And we just keep chasing after the same shit, and then it doesn't work. And we're like, maybe we should kind of peel the onion instead of going after the lightning.
You know? I like that.
Yeah.
Peel the onion instead of going after the lightning.
Layers.
I think I go after the lightning a lot.
Yeah.
So my parents' backstory, my parents are dead. Mm. And my mom died when I was 16. My dad died when I was 21. So I know I bring all of that baggage into sure. relationships. And I do not like being vulnerable because when you're vulnerable, that's inviting someone to hurt your feelings. So I think in relationships, when I'm finally vulnerable, I immediately latch. So sure. like if you see any of the real me where we have a normal conversation, I'm not doing bits and I'm like, oh, you enjoyed that. You like that. You like that I'm loud and fun. And even when I'm just trying to talk to you, I'm like, oh, this is my person. I have to keep them. And then when they go away, I get like really sad because yeah, I'm like, you still get to live out in the world and I never get to see you again.
Well, not only that, but you just put all your chips in by showing yourself.
Yes.
And if you're someone, see, like, I mean, I don't know you, but from the outside, you actually look like someone who is very vulnerable. But as a performer and comic and all that, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's vulnerability in that, but you're talking about a different vulnerability. You're talking about intimate.
Yes.
Right?
Like intimate. Like
show someone who you really are.
Yes.
Not that you're being fake, but like deeper.
There's different levels layers, to me. Right. There's layers. Yeah, I'm an onion.
Yeah.
I present a lot of my personal life and I talk about it pretty freely, but there's like a ton of stuff that I don't talk about.
Of course.
During sex, I used to not like to look at someone in the eye because I was like, what if they see inside my soul and they know all of my thoughts? Right. But then I started looking at people.
Did you just close your eyes or you just did positions?
I would either close my eyes or you get behind me and I'll stare at that wall.
Right.
But I've been learning to just embrace it and connect with someone. Yep. And it's okay if we don't connect again. So I've been trying to... be a little bit more forthcoming with people I'm with.
Sure.
Because I started thinking about it. I was like, if I'm always closing my eyes and they're staring at me, they might be thinking, actually, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, philosophize what somebody else is thinking. But I was like, maybe that makes them uncomfortable. But then I was like, am I comfortable? So I was like, let's get comfortable. So that's what I've been trying to do.
Well, I'm on this journey, speaking of sex. So I'm very highly sexual, a sexual being. But at 46, I'm now interested in something deeper and it requires things like eye contact and slowing down and exploring and all that. And, you know, in my 20s, it was just about skin hunger. And so now I'm actually interested in what we're talking about, which is like, talk to me, look into my eye. Let's try exploring instead of just getting the finish, the high, the dopamine, you know. And I'll be honest with you, it's terrifying.
It's very, very scary.
And it's not something we're used to.
No.
You know?
Especially now, because I think everything is so fast-paced. We're all looking at people's social media, and you're like, oh my God, everyone's doing fun things. Am I fun enough? What's happening? And then I've been saying this on the podcast, but like, it's very true. Like, I'm truly just looking for someone to sit and like watch TV with.
Right.
And
right.
not have to worry about talking. I can send them a meme and they giggle.
Right.
And then maybe we talk about it, but maybe we just keep watching TV. I just want someone to be comfortable with.
Well, not only that, but comfortable with when you show your true self.
Yes.
Right.
That too.
Not the stuff that you do for work, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I also, there's so many layers to what I want. Like, I also need someone who understands that if they come see me at a show, they're jokes. Like, they're just jokes.
Right, right, right.
That maybe they did something that I made a joke about, but
they don't take it personally.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're talking about a secure man.
Yes.
Which is what you're going to need because of just your lifestyle and what you do and all of that. Because I think also men can get intimidated. So like the double-edged sword of women today who are like badass and entrepreneurs and independent and doing their thing is there's now a wave of men who say they wanted these things. And now that women are these things, they're like, oh,
they're like,
shit.
I don't want this. This is too much.
Or they're not secure enough or they're intimidated or there's a competition thing going on.
Yeah, you know? And that would bum me the fuck out. Yeah, like, if someone was comparing their success to my success.
Then it's tug of war.
Yeah.
And it's not.
That seems exhausting.
Love. Yeah, yeah.
Have you been on dating apps at all?
I tried. So I've been mostly in relationships. So after the marriage, it's always been, you know, 3 years here, 3 years there. So I've probably been in maybe 6 relationships. But there was a about a year of dating. So I played around with a few of the apps. Maybe like 4 years ago. And I learned that... I think dating is dead. Seriously, because I remember when I grew up in like, you know, the 90s where you had to ask someone out. I had the 6-disc charger where I put in my songs that I wanted to play on the date, roll up to her house, open the door, make reservations, and, you know, like wash the car. You got all excited about it. Now it's like literally meet me. Like I see a picture of you, meet me for coffee. It'll be like 5 minutes. You're going to be evaluated and judged, right? And then compared to your like pick and all of that profile. And then there's this thing called ghosting now where people just like, you're basically very, you're like condiment. You're like, we're like a salad dressing. It's just baseball cards, you know? And so there is no real dating now. It's like roulette or it's very strange.
It is so weird. It's also, I think it's weird, but it's all I've ever known. Like
you've never
truly had a date where someone like picked me up.
Is that a generational thing?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, because you're young.
Or maybe I'm not sure.
Yeah, because you're in your early 30s.
32 or 53.
Yeah, so
don't know.
You're a millennial.
won't look it up. But
so
yeah.
You grew up with technology.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's all you know.
I mean, I think we got internet in my house at like 12, when I was 12 or 13.
Yeah, but that was so, you weren't dating then.
No, I wasn't dating. Thank God I wasn't dating then. But yeah, the only time I've ever had like a dude pick me up from my house is after we've gone out a couple times. Mm. Like the steps to intimacy now or to dating now are confusing.
Yeah.
Because you go out, you fuck, and then you're like, maybe we'll fuck again. And then you fuck like four times and you're like, maybe I'll tell them more about my life.
So you front load the fucking.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm alone in this.
No, everyone. Yeah. I think
it's so insane that
it's become the kind of the cultural landscape.
Yeah. And I don't know why it's like that. It's very confusing because you fuck a couple times and then you start to get to know the person. And then you make a choice, like somewhere down the line, if you want to like go out with them during the day. Because I don't really do like coffee dates; they seem weird.
Yeah, they seem like interviews.
Yeah, and I do enough of like I have to go on like generals and meet producers and stuff. And
it feels
like work if I'm meeting you during the day for just a coffee.
So what are your dates then?
Like a drink.
Oh, at night.
Yes.
Night stuff.
I used to do dinners, but that is a long commitment.
It is.
Because if the food doesn't come quick.
Well, it's an hour with someone.
Yes.
And if there aren't sparks.
You're stuck there till you're finished with dinner.
Yeah, but what? So I guess back in the day before the apps, if you had the balls to go ask someone out, that means that you really want to hang out with this person.
Yes.
So there's investment there. So the dinner is actually a nice payoff.
Yes.
Now it's like because we're seeing pictures of them and filtered and stuff. There's a lot of filling in blanks. And so I guess the dinner, you're afraid of that because you don't want to spend that much time with someone.
Correct.
So that's why that's why dating's dead.
Yeah.
So then if you don't want to do dinner, then what do you, I guess a drink.
You go for a drink and then if it's fine after one drink, you go, all right, let's get another drink.
So you got little notches, the rounds.
Uh-huh. I've been on a couple dates where I've had two drinks and been like, oh boy, I have to wake up very early tomorrow.
Mm. But don't they get more attractive as you have more drinks? No.
No, they get worse.
Okay.
I wish that was a true statement.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. They get worse because then I'm like more real. And I'm like, everything about you is stupid. And you've never said one interesting entire 20 minutes.
Right.
I have to leave. Yeah, dating apps are truly just awful.
So you're not looking for love right now, or are you?
No. I think.
You're looking for a companion.
I'm looking for a companion who I'd like to fall in love with.
Right.
I'm trying to realize that. Intensity is not love, which I think is a hard thing.
Yes.
Because I'm a very...
Yes. You like intensity is what you're telling me.
Yes. And when I was little, I was called an extremist. Ms. Gizzy called me an extremist because I used to write very big. And she was like, I need you to write smaller. This is too big.
Oh.
So I wrote so small so she couldn't see it.
Oh,
so I was like, you want it smaller? I'll give you smaller. And then she was like, you're an extremist. And I was like, I guess... That's what I am.
Wait, what grade was this?
This was fourth grade.
Oh my, wow.
This
so you're pulling
really
out, you're pulling out an old imprint, but here's this. Well, uh-huh. I'll bet you that whole, Miss Gizzy or whatever her name is, saying that you're an extremist when you're in fourth grade, there's no way that you have not carried that with you in some way.
Oh, I absolutely have. So in my brain, I'm like, it's either we love each other or I don't like you at all.
There's no middle.
Yeah, there's very much no middle ground.
Well, then that means the stakes for you are very high when it comes to dating.
Correct. Very, very high.
Oh, shit.
It's awful. It's a terrible way to live, and I don't know how to change it.
We need a new dating mindset. Well, first of all, if you do find love, what happens to this show? Is it done?
Oh, no. People have said this, and then during meet and greets, I've had people be like, I never want you to find love because I don't want it to end.
Right.
And I'm like,
because of dialogue.
This is the most selfish thing
that
a person has ever said to my face. But I wouldn't change the podcast.
Well, you would just start talking about what's honest to you in your life, which
But honestly, I don't think I would talk about my partner until we were a year or two into it.
Right.
Because it feels unfair to put that weight on somebody to go, so we're dating and I'm going to use all of this as content.
Yeah,
that just doesn't seem fair.
No.
And I've had relationships in the past year who I really liked that person. So I didn't talk about them at all.
Right.
Or like maybe I said a couple of nondescript things. But yeah, I wouldn't talk about them for a while, but I think it's okay to talk about like people's experiences or my past experiences. So there's a lot of things to draw from.
Sure,
so I wouldn't
of course.
End it.
Right.
But I do ask the question at the end, would you date me? The answer would be, well, I'm with somebody, but it's a hypothetical now.
Right. It goes from literal to hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah. I would keep doing it because I think love and relationships are so interesting. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but even if you did fall in love or you were dating someone or whatever, you still don't know. You still are learning and growing. I mean, there's, mm-hmm. you know, like it's endless. There's no answers.
I'm a different person than I was a year ago.
Yeah,
like
of course.
I was listening to a very early episode of the podcast and I was like, I've grown up so much
sure.
in the last, I think I've been doing this for 2 years, It's crazy.
It's a therapy too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
and it for me, it's been very helpful to talk about stuff. I think talking about love and relationships and the mistakes I've made, because I've made so many.
Yeah.
I think that's been very therapeutic and it helps in addition to my actual therapy.
I think also, and women, I think, mature faster than men in the sense that they turn the corner faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think around 30, early 30s is when you actually start asking yourself some important questions, like
mm-hmm.
what I really want, who am I, why do I do that? Like these don't come till 30. You know, 20s is just exploration, debauchery.
20s,
right?
Yeah. My 20s were so stupid. Okay, yeah. We have to take a break.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out. So you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. Yeah, my 20s, I made so many of the most insane choices. Not that I'm making perfect choices now, but I'm doing a lot of things now that are like controlled chaos.
Yeah.
If you will. That like keep me safe. Like I used to hitchhike in my early 20s when I lived
Holy
in New York.
Shit.
Which is not gray.
Also, when you say hitchhiking, so if you, you know, were raised in your in the 60s, that's fair, but not,
yeah, but not,
not as a millennial. That's not
in like 2008
no,
in New York City.
You should
City.
Be in a trunk right now.
Yes. There were so many things that should have happened to me, but didn't because for whatever reason, I'm supposed to be here. But yeah, if like a dude cat called me, I'd be like, where are you going? And they right. would tell me and I'd be like, let me get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was poor and I loved an adventure.
Wow.
So would you consider yourself a serial monogamist?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a hopeless romantic. Mm-hmm. And I've pretty much only been in relationships. The longest I've been single was after my divorce for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I was single on purpose.
Ah.
Yeah, which, by the way, is the title of my new book.
Is it?
Was that tacky?
No. Yeah. That's how you're supposed to okay, do it. Yeah. I watch a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, and RuPaul will shoehorn any promo for anything she's ever done on the show.
It was just
and
so
I
obvious
think
right there.
It's so smart. I'm writing a book right now, and I've put so many promotional things for other things in the book.
In the book, right. Layer it. What is your book? An autobiography or what's the—
No, it is a self-help guide for fat women. So the title used to be Very Fat, Very Brave, The Brave Girl's Guide to Being— Wait, no. Very Fat, Very Brave, The Fat Girl's Guide to Being Brave and Not Suicidal in a Bikini. But no humor books have the word suicide in
it.
Right,
right.
And they were worried that people would think I was making fun of suicide. And I was like, we don't get the joke in this. So now it's something even longer.
I think it's peanut butter and chocolate. I like the fact that it's funny, but it's also
dark.
Substance. Dark.
Yes.
Yes.
And for me, like if you, I mean, this podcast sometimes goes a little dark. My stand-up goes very dark. I spend the first 10 minutes of my set talking about cities I've been to where I've been overtly had racism happen to me.
Right.
But I make it funny.
Yeah.
Like you really like you're laughing, but like I hope you go home and you're like, Jesus Christ. Like, I can't believe all of these microaggressions happened to this woman. Like, this
right,
is crazy.
Right, right.
And I talk about like I've talked about Appleton, Wisconsin so many times on this podcast, and I have a joke about it in my act. And people are like, well, I'm from Appleton. I'm really sorry you had a bad time there, but like everyone's great there. And I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
But I did 5 shows and one of them yelled something racist at my featurer and they yelled at me. And for me, 5 shows, 3 days where I was disrespected right. nonstop. I don't like that town.
I think the ability to find funny in dark is therapeutic.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. The first jokes I wrote were about my parents' death and I was 22 or 23 when I first tried those jokes. they did not go well because everyone else was 22, 23, who all had parents.
Right, right, right.
So they were
they
like,
can relate to you.
Yeah, yeah fully. Yeah, they were like, yeah. No, this woman, she's sad. I don't know about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I think it's very therapeutic
sure.
to make sad things into something that you can laugh at. But then sometimes audiences don't get it.
Yeah, of course.
I have a joke about this man who accused me of pickpocketing him on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote responses back to him that are like real sassy, true reads. And the last couple of times I've done that joke, people in the audience are like, ooh. And I have to stop and go, guys, he was racist. Nobody actually said these. This is my fantasy. Are we all on board?
Right, right.
Can I continue with the joke?
Right, get explained.
Yeah, it's everyone is a little whatever.
Sensitive.
We don't have to get into that.
Yeah.
But when so you've been in many relationships. What is a thing that a woman can do that makes you go, yes, I want to date this person?
So my answer today is very different than it was, 10, 15 years mm-hmm. ago. I'm going to say aware of self.
Ah.
Like not only because to me that's confidence, you
mm-hmm.
know, a knowing of yourself, what you like, the ability to express yourself, and even like in the bedroom, like
mm-hmm.
what you want, what turns you on, what you like. To me, that's sexy. And also, knowing your defects and your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a vulnerability piece. I think vulnerability is sexy. I think someone showing themselves unapologetically and saying, you could love it or not, love me or not leave me, love me, but this is who I am. Because it takes so much courage to do that.
I agree. But then sometimes I'm like, you don't got to show all your colors.
Not on the first date, no.
I watched this show called 90 Day Fiancé. Do you watch it?
No, I mean.
Okay, there's this woman on it named Darcy. And Darcy has cried on every single date with this man, Tom, that she's dating. And I was like, okay, I'm all for showing all of your colors.
Right.
But you cannot be that insecure that you're crying at this man, begging this man to love you.
Right, right.
I think maybe she needs to go on a self journey of self-discovery.
Sure, I think there's a responsibility in showing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between like verbally vomiting on someone.
Yes.
Or showing a side of you that you're scared to show, but you're doing it anyway because it's you want to
mm-hmm.
embrace your story and share that with the person. But just like vomiting or making it about you all the time, I mean, that's mm-hmm. narcissism. That's not vulnerability.
I think people get that confused.
Yes, yes.
They're just like, well, I'll just tell you my whole deal.
Yeah, or let me just tell you everything I'm thinking. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, thank you.
That's not showing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that in communication.
Fair.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I know I don't, in my friendships, I let things fester for a little bit until it boils over and then we're like in a fight.
Sure. Yeah. So that's the extreme maybe.
Yes.
But we don't practice this. Like we should grow up learning, and there should be classes in high school where you can actually practice self-expression.
Yes.
And telling someone how you feel and boundaries and all that. And so we go from 0 to 60, and especially
mm-hmm.
if you grew up like me where, I was never taught any tools and modeled anything. And so it's like what do you mean? So I used to go from 0 to just throwing chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be very angry and unhappy and explosive and reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And at 46, now I'm finally more responding instead of reacting.
It is interesting
it took a while.
that we don't teach people how to manage emotions. No,
we learn geometry, which we never
use. Nobody's ever been like, what's the hypotenuse of this? And I'm like, whoa, well,
right.
I'm so glad you asked.
Right.
But yeah, like my mother was a person who, she was very comfortable with her emotions. She was a spiritual, religious person.
Mm.
And she liked to talk and she liked to ask questions about how I was feeling or why I did something. So that was very helpful in my formative years. And then my dad's side of the family was very different.
Mm.
They were very much like, we don't talk about this.
Right.
We're very quiet. Like I 2 years ago asked my grandpa how he met my grandmother. And then my aunts and my uncle were like, yeah, how did you meet? And I was like, what? How do you guys not know this? But it's because they don't really talk about their personal life with their family.
Yeah.
And my grandpa was like, well, I was in a gang. And I was like, what do you mean you were in a gang? You're from Barbados. What were you, stealing coconuts? What kind of gang were you in? And then he didn't like that joke. if my grandpa doesn't think I'm funny. It's a real treat. But yeah, so I lately, the older I get, I've been like asking just more questions to them because I just like, I want to know. They're getting old. They're not going to be around for very much longer. I mean, knock on wood, they'll live forever. Honestly, I think my grandpa will outlive me. He is like a cockroach. Mm. He's going nowhere.
Yoda.
I say that with lots of love. What do you think are good tools to enter a relationship with?
Oh, man. Okay, first, I think tools are acquired through just going through our shit, therapy, whatever. I don't think you get tools over the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think because self-betterment.
You can't just go to Home Depot and pick up the tools for a
relationship. Or a seminar or take a yoga class. Like I think because self-betterment has become cool now, there's a kind of a crust forming. So there's a lot of people wearing the t-shirt. A lot of people saying, a lot of talking heads, you know, I'm sure people think that about me. But until you've actually gone through the journey and like have done, quote unquote, the work, as I say in my line of business, it takes time. And so when you say tools, it feels like a light switch, like, oh, you just got picked him up at Home Depot. Mm-hmm. But no, I think we're always acquiring more and more. And I think that you have to have gone through some shit, whether it's a divorce or parents passing or whatever it is, for you to actually obtain some wisdom and some stillness and some looking inward, you know? And I think that's where the tools come from, not like reading a self-help book and being like, oh, just do this and this and, you know? So, yeah, it's hard. Relationships are hard, period, you know?
They seem hard, but like, I just really want to be in one.
Oh, of course. Well, I think they're worth it. I think, I mean, so here's the thing about life. If you get something from a relationship that you can't get in anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter how successful you are, how much money, or what kind of car. Like, the closeness, the vulnerability, the intimacy, like, you know, moments, like that kind of shit, like hitting those high notes of love. Like, you can't get that from your friends.
No.
You can't get that from parents. You can't get that, you know, you can only get it from the person you choose to love. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're willing to fight and look and get hurt. I mean, that's why everyone wants it. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest misconception is that it's not a feeling, it's actually built. So it's not like, oh, this person is amazing. And yes, there's a honeymoon and all of that. But I think relationships that are sustainable and healthy are actually built, meaning, okay, now I know that we like each other, but I also see your dirty socks. I also know we speak different love languages and, you know, or sexual, whatever, there's an incompatibility there. And then it's like, okay, now let's do the work. Let's build something. And that takes a lot of selflessness. It takes a lot of looking inward. It takes a lot of taking ownership. Like, what am I bringing to the table? That's my piece, not yours. All of that. And that's exhausting. just talking about it's exhausting.
Very exhausting.
Yeah. And that's why I think a lot of people don't last past, you know, whatever, a couple months or a year, you know. It's, I think, especially today where we're like, fuck this, I got choices.
Yes.
You know?
And with dating apps, I feel like people, we have endless choices.
Yeah, but I think that's a mirage. I mean, we do visually.
Yes.
But I think that if you really go out there, are there a lot of quality people that you connect with that you're willing to invest in?
No.
See?
And I think that's another hard thing that I have when I'm like, oh my God, we've connected. Because I don't like very many people.
So you value it when you do find a connection.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like, because I've been hit on a lot lately in my DMs.
Sure.
And I think people are just like, whatever, come on, let's date. I'm like, oh no, that's not. I mean, I might sound like I'll date any old person, but if I would date any old person, I would be dating someone right now.
Do you think that their intentions are in the right place? Or do you just get a lot of DMs because they're like, I think she's funny. I think she's successful. I think like, or you think it's like a challenge for them to like.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know what people's intentions are.
Well, that's what must make it hard for you, because if you don't know what their intentions are, you're going to be more on guard.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, do you like me or do you like, what's, yeah.
It's very confusing sometimes. I was having a conversation with this dude who, he travels for work and lives in a different state. And I was like, oh, I come to that state often. I'll actually be there in November. And he was like, oh, yeah, how many shows are you doing? And I was like, I never mentioned I was a comedian. How did he know? Because I don't know who knows me.
Right, right.
And it's insane to assume somebody knows who I am. there's too many people in this world doing entertainment and doing whatever.
Yeah, and then the internet and Instagram. Yeah, and all, yeah.
That would be, yeah. I would think so highly of myself if I thought everybody knew who I was. And then I have a picture of a dildo in my dating profile. And he's like, oh, you're not a traveling dildo salesman who does shows about him? And I was like, oh, that was funny. But still, I'm like, and so I said to him, I was like, I didn't know if you knew I was a comic or whatever. And then he never responded. And I was like, I don't know. It's, people ghost on the apps. They ghost after you meet.
You know what it's doing though, because I have a lot of mostly female post-30 that don't like that shit and they're turning it inward. So they're so sick of the ghosting, the whatever, dick pics, whatever that's happening out there, where they're now starting to lose faith. And now they're like, is something wrong with me? And I think that's when it gets dangerous, is when you start not using dating apps as a tool, but you're using it as a measure of your worth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I was doing that for a hot second. I was like, it must be me.
Yeah.
But then I learned that there's a thing called an Elio score, where you're like scored on who you swipe on and your pictures and stuff. So then they match you with those people that they think are good for you. So I'm like, the algorithm's already fucked if that's a thing. If you are trying to be a matchmaker, that's a crazy thing. You're a company. Just let people see whoever they want.
Yeah.
And then I also was like, these are just random people in the world.
Right.
And they have no reflection on me. It's hard to be interesting in a fucking text message. It's hard to be interesting just trying to get to know somebody on a, like, texting. I don't think you can get to know someone through texting.
No, there's no way. There's no
way. It's like so this show, 90 Day Fiancé, I fucking love it. A lot of these people are long distance for a very long time, so they're emailing each other and, like, video chatting. And I'm like, that's hard.
It's real. I don't believe in long distance unless there's a you guys are working toward a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
This open ended because long distance, when you see each other, you're on your best behavior.
Yes.
You haven't seen each other forever.
Yes.
It's just not real. It's not how you're going to be if you were actually to like live together. So there's a lot of false advertising. And I think the amount of work and connection it takes to build something is in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel their energy, you see how they are. It's very easy to hide behind words and text.
Absolutely.
And angles and videos and stuff.
And you can be witty.
Yeah,
and you can have a ring light and look better than you look in person.
You're just playing your highlight reel, the trailer.
Yep.
We need to see the documentary.
Yes, I fully agree. Yeah, that's all dating apps are. They're
Trailers.
A trailer for who the person is. And then the person could be shitty.
God.
Sometimes a trailer's great and a movie's very shitty.
I'm glad I'm not in my 30s. I'm glad I didn't grow up with you guys. Damn, it sounds fucking exhausting
and
chaotic.
It is very exhausting.
Yeah.
It is almost like a second job, or in my case, a third, fourth, fifth job, because you have to sit there and you have to swipe through people.
Well, it's not just that kind of exhausting, but I think I don't know if I'm secure enough to handle the no's and the rejections and the ghosting and the emotionally exhausting.
I don't know how normal people do it. Because when I auditioned for a job, you only hear you got the job.
Mm.
You don't hear if you don't get it.
Right.
The jobs ghost you.
Right.
And then there's a fun thing where you work out your deal before you even get it. So it'll be like, it's between you and four other girls. Here's your deal.
Oh,
and you're like, oh my God, this money, if I get it, I'm gonna buy X, Y, and Z. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, you're like, who got it? And they're like, oh, not you. And you're like, oh, well, okay. Okay, so we were engaged, and then you broke off the engagement, and we're back to square one. So dating is a lot like that, and I don't know how normal people handle that much rejection. I face rejection literally at least twice a week.
But there's a difference between rejection from work and your ability and performance, or someone rejecting you as a person.
Well, they are rejecting me as a person with acting and comedy. It's not personal, though.
It's not personal.
Because it's, you weren't looking for me. That's fine.
Right.
I can find somebody else who wants what I'm serving.
But they are rejecting you, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
But with a relationship, it's even more personal because you're like, oh, well, I don't know if I'll ever find another person.
Well, that's what I'm saying. With a relationship, you're not hiding behind anything.
Yeah.
And also, there's no, it's like, here I am.
Yeah.
No, okay.
And it's like, oh, so I didn't get that acting job. Great, I'll go on tour.
Right.
There's no like, oh, I didn't get that boyfriend, so I guess I'll tour the world and find a boyfriend.
There's no business part of
no.
the, yeah, yeah.
It's so frustrating. but you gotta keep doing it that's what you want.
I guess. Well, how are things now?
Right now, I am dating no one. I've been flirting with this one dude off of Tinder, but like, he never says anything interesting, but that's okay. And then for a hot second, I was trying to meet somebody on the road, but then I was like, what am I going to do? Import him to LA? That seems stupid. Yeah.
Are you? I'm assuming you travel a lot.
Yeah.
So it must be lonely, actually, to travel a lot, do all your stuff, juggle all the balls, and then not have someone to share that with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a roommate, which is very nice.
Yeah.
But he's in a relationship, so he's got that person. And then we have dogs. The dogs like him more because I'm away so much.
Yeah.
And I don't walk him. so it is lonely, but also not lonely, if that makes sense. Mm. The thing I loved most about New York City when I lived there was you could be alone amongst a ton of people.
Right.
So like on the subway, you're alone.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not with a friend.
Right.
But you're with people, so it doesn't feel lonely. So I don't ever feel lonely because I have my friends and I'm around people and I'm bopping to place, doing shit. The only time I actually feel lonely is like after a show alone in the hotel room. You're like, all my friends are sleeping. But like if I had a partner, they would answer my phone call because they love me.
Right. When you crave that, that connection with that one. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it gets sad, but then you just gotta keep going.
Keep going.
You just keep going.
Yeah,
I don't know what the remedy to that would be. Although, I do think 2020 is going to be my year, and I will find somebody.
Oh,
please don't ask why I feel that, but I feel it.
Why do you feel that?
I don't. I think it's because 2019 was awful.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I had a very bad time with dating, just in general.
Was awful about it? All the experiences, or did you meet someone that you really liked and that didn't work out?
Well, I met someone the year before that I liked and it didn't work out. Mm. And then every person I met this year seemed to be fodder for a joke. It was like I just kept having the most insane experiences.
Right.
And then this one guy I hooked up with after he left the hotel room, I literally looked at the heavens and said, I don't want any more material. I just want a healthy sexual experience.
Right, right.
And I'm sure the people in the adjoining hotel rooms were like, who is this woman talking to? And
out loud.
Oh, I screamed it. I was like, why? Right. Why is weird shit? Why does it keep happening? Honestly, though, I wouldn't trade my weird shit for the world. Mm-hmm. I attract weird stuff. It's fine. It's my life. It's what it is. It's been like this my entire life. But it would just be so nice to have one person who loves me, who I got to call and tell, because I like talking on the phone.
Yeah,
I talk to a couple of friends that I love dearly on the phone a lot. It would be nice to call that person and be like, oh my goodness, I'm in Iowa and today you'll never believe a potato was thrown at me on stage. I don't know. Please don't throw a potato at me. That's not. Please
potatoes
don't do
are
that.
Hard.
That might hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe a bag of mashed potatoes. That'd be great. Then I'd eat it.
Or like fries.
Yeah. French fries are great. Yeah. Throw French fries at me.
Yeah.
It would just be so nice to have a home base to come back to.
Yeah.
As opposed to I'm just out in the world.
That's what it is. It's actually having that kind of home base. And also, when you climb the ladder, become successful in the world, you want to share that with someone.
Yes.
So you want to kind of come back to that home base, your nest, and that's what, So 2020 is going to be it.
2020 is going to be my year.
I see it.
I also think I picked 2020, or not picked, this year was bad, and I was like, well, there has to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm also the same age my mother was when she married my dad.
Oh, interesting.
So I was like, I don't know, there's that, so I'll glob onto that.
Yeah, yeah. History repeating itself.
Yes. And they had such a nice relationship in a way where my mother was a pretty ridiculous woman, and my dad was a very quiet man who he truly would just like stand aside and watch her and just giggle. Or he'd be like, oh, Bonnie. Like he just, I have a joke about it now where I'm like, I just want an exhausted man who loves me. But my mother exhausted my dad. She would she would do things that he was like, please don't. And she'd be like, I did it. And he would just go, oh, all right.
Were they in love?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause after she died, he was the saddest person I've ever met.
Oh.
Like he was just so sad.
Oh yeah.
And then 2 years after she died, me and my sister like both went off to college and like left him alone. And in hindsight, probably should have asked him if he was okay more.
Yeah.
But he was a stoic person who didn't really talk about his feelings. Sure. So I don't know if we would have like actually gotten answers.
Did he pass because your mom passed or his passing was different?
They both died of heart failure. Mm. So it was weird because she was overweight. So she died of deep vein thrombosis, which is a blood clot in your leg.
Right.
And it traveled to her heart. And then my dad died of a heart attack. It was like a year to the day that my sister graduated from college.
Wow.
So sometimes I think he died of a broken heart. He was just like, all right, I saw her graduate. Let me get on out of here.
Sometimes couples, especially when they're older, when one person dies, the mm-hmm. other person dies very fast or just mm-hmm. kind of done.
It wasn't that fast. Yeah. 16 and 21. I can't do that math. What is that? 5 years?
5 years.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. 5 years after my mom died, my dad died. I mean, I'm looking for that kind of love where if he dies, I go too. I also watched a video today where I was like, this is the type of love I want. It was a very drunk couple trying to walk up the stairs and they kept falling back down. And then instead of helping her, he took her glass, her cocktail. And it made me laugh. I was like, oh, this is a treat. I just want to be drunk with somebody.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's about the moments.
Are you dating someone right now?
Oh, I am. Yeah.
Are you happy in this relationship?
Yes, I'm
this
learning so question. Much. I have a baby coming.
Congratulations!
Yeah, 23 weeks.
Wow. Do you know what kind of baby it is?
Human? No, it's a female.
I knew
she was going to be female. I just had this vision of,
I've
always had this vision of having a daughter and taking her for pancakes in a vintage truck. That's always been playing in my head. And, you know, like her little feet not being able to, and mm-hmm. shot from the back where we're on the stools on a counter.
That's so cute.
And I've just been obsessed with that vision. And then so when she said it was a girl or the doctor, I was like, oh, yeah, of course.
Fair.
Yeah.
I don't think I want kids.
No?
Yeah.
Never?
I think I would have a kid if I had enough money that the nanny raised it I swung by every now and again and they're like, hello, Nicole. And I was like, hello, children.
You're also very young and things can change because the person I'm with now, she never wanted kids ever. And suddenly she had things change.
Yeah, I might want them later. My mom had me late. I think she was 40 or 39.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I got time. What do you think I should put on my dating apps to attract a gentleman?
Oh.
Or a lady. I'm pretty...
Are you open these days? Is that what
very
you're saying?
Very open.
Are you? Are
I
you
don't sorry? Mind.
Are you bisexual or you're just like, yeah, I'm open to whatever now?
I don't like to say bisexual. I also don't like to say queer because I'm pretty heteronormative.
Right.
But I'm very open to whatever. I call it slutty.
What? I wouldn't put the slutty on the profile, but what is on your profile now?
Okay. Currently, it says, definitely a thought, the happiest out there. I'm a known seltzer hog, which I should probably take out. That's a joke from my friend. Then I said, I'm a dark bottom filled with cream, which is another joke from a friend. Then I said, I'm looking for a funny person who like gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote, I love to tee-hee-hee because I do love to giggle. Reading this out loud to a therapist is pretty bad. Maybe I should change it.
No, I think it's great.
Oh, you do?
I do. But I would also, I would encourage you to be more vulnerable on the profile because it's a side that we don't see. So here's a surprise. It's like, okay, we see you doing this in the show and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone comes to your profile and like, oh shit, she's actually real on it, which means I should take her seriously. Because if you start with how you are outside, then they're gonna treat you differently, I think. Or their perception of you may be different. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But do you think it's too much to be like, I'm looking for real love? Because anytime I see someone's profile where they're like, I'm looking for real love, I'm like, you're a fool. You'll never find it here. It's a fool's journey.
I wouldn't say maybe you're looking for something honest. Maybe you don't know what you're looking for. Like, whatever your truth is, I would be like, look, I'm dating, but I'm also looking for something honest and real, and I don't even know what that is.
But I'm like
on
that.
Yeah, and that's and then it's like, but you could have I think you could be you, of course, but I think if that's kind of where you start with, then you're setting the tone, and then I think that's going to attract people who are going to be more on that level with you. And then, of course, you know, the fun and the jokes and all that, but I think reshuffling what you put weight on. Okay. So not only the profile, but in life, you know, whether you're at the grocery store or you're on a dating app, it doesn't matter.
I like that a lot. I'm looking for something honest and real, but I don't know what that is.
Okay. Yep.
I like that. I don't know what that is because I truly don't know what that is.
But that's also you being vulnerable.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying that because in the beginning of this episode, I asked you and you said, it's hard for me to be vulnerable in the eye contact. And I'd rather him be whatever behind me and all this kind of. Mm-hmm. So I just, that lights up to me and I'm like, okay, I'm not your therapist, but I, as a guest on your podcast, if you want advice, it would be, what would vulnerability look like? And then how would you take a butter knife to that shit and spread it everywhere? Because I think there's strength there. And I think that's what's going to be the cheese. I don't know if it's a cheese that comes invites this Mr. Mm-hmm. 2020.
All right.
I don't know why I said cheese. It's not going to be a rat you're going to attract.
Spreadable?
Spreadable? Cheeses? Oh, yeah, maybe.
I don't really eat cold cheese, so I don't know.
You don't eat cold cheese?
No, very strange. I only like melted cheese. When I was little, I used to say, I don't want the raw cheese. My mother was like, there is no such thing as raw cheese.
Oh, because it was cold.
There is. It's cold and it's raw. Yeah. And I need it cooked. Very strange person. I still have very strange eating habits.
We all do.
Eat everything with my fingies if nobody's watching.
No utensils.
Who needs a fork? You have fingers.
Oh, sure.
But then, you know, pizza sauce will get all up in your fingernails.
Yeah.
A whole mess.
Curry, soup.
Well, I guess I don't eat soupy things with my fingers.
Yeah.
But honestly, chicken tikka masala, if it sits out long enough and it kind of congeals,
I like it.
They'll pull it out with my little fingies.
Yeah.
Okay, I ask all of my guests this. Would you date me?
Yes.
Ooh!
Yes. You seem like a fun, positive, and actually I'm in person, I actually see realness in you that I don't see, of course, like, you know, on that or a podcast or whatever. But maybe it's just the tone of what's happening now. But like in you in front of me here, you seem like genuine and real and
this is me,
three-dimensional.
This is me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you have anything you want to promote?
I guess just two things. I'm texting people now. I'm fascinated with using technology to create reach and help people. So I'm sending daily texts. And also I'm a co-founder in a company called Journey. It's we certify life coaches. And so helping other people help other people is a passion of mine. And we're doing it in a very honest way. So journey.co.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, subscribe. You could give it a 5-star rating. And if you send me something nasty hitting on me, I will read it out loud. This nice person said, the wholesome part of me wants to bake you gourmet chicken pot pies and feed them to you with a golden spoon. But the real me wants to spread your perfect chocolate pussy and perch up on my face, giggling and letting me lick and suck on you till completion while you dine. While your sweet pussy nectar, this is long, coats my lips and warms my throat, the hot creamy pie filling is dripping on my titties because of your explosive orgasm. As you ravenously ingest my culinary savory sensation, the perfectly brown, flaky, pasty crust lays a dusting on my belly and you bend over and suck up all these leftovers on me like a quiet Dyson vacuum. Spit them back into my pussy. Ugh. And I'm also stuffed like a perfectly golden pot pie. Then we lay next to each other in the most perfect lazy 69 and you eat the pussy pie filling out of me for your second helping and I flip you over and look up your sweet butthole as dessert. Cheers. Hope I see you in Boston. Thank you for that. That was too long. Okay. Bye-bye.
18 Coco Production.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.